Yes, indeed. Crazy days we live in, beloved. But for our final hymn this morning, let's stand and open up to 110. Hymn number 110. There's one thing we can do concerning all this chaos going on in the world, and that is to tell Jesus about it. Amen? I must tell Jesus. I love this words to this great hymn of the faith. Hymn 110, we'll stand and sing the first and the second. First and second.
I must tell Jesus,
I must tell Jesus,
I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. Cares for His own. I must tell Jesus,
I must tell Jesus,
I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus,
I must tell Jesus,
Jesus can help me,
Jesus alone.
Jesus,
all of my troubles,
He is a kind, compassionate friend.
If I but ask Him, He will deliver.
Make up my troubles quickly and end.
Amen!
I must tell Jesus.
Tell Jesus,
Jesus can help me,
Jesus alone.
Glory to God. Please be seated, church. Oh, what a blessing to have a Jesus to go to, the Jesus of the Bible. I like that third stanza. Look at that. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. It's so good to know that no matter what we're going through, He shares that burden with us and He carries us through it. What a great Savior He is. Glory to God. Well, let's grab our Bibles this morning, church. And of course, we'll come back to the hymn book afterward. But for now, let's grab our Bibles and open up to John's Gospel this morning. The Gospel of John, you know, is my favorite. And John chapter 1. And as you're turning to John chapter 1, let me give you this. A pastor was spending much time doing marriage counseling with a couple in his church who had been married for 32 years. The man's wife kept explaining how her husband didn't understand her needs. He never shows affection. He never tells me he loves me. Finally, the pastor got up and went over to the man's wife, picked her up and gave her a big, long, juicy smooch right on the lips. He turned to the man and said, Fred, that's what she needs twice a week. Do you understand? He said, yes, sir, preacher. I'll have her in here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Bring her in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Some guys just don't get it, you know. Well, praise the Lord for John chapter 1. I love this passage of Scripture. It's just heavenly. Oh, divine, the words of God contained in this chapter. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning, church. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. I'm going to cover the first five verses today. And I want to speak to you on a sermon I've entitled, The Life and Light of Men. The Life and Light of Men. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I want to speak to you on the life and light of men. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this incredible passage. Lord, how we thank you for the deep truths that are revealed and uncovered by the Holy Spirit in these verses concerning the divine personage of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that he is the life and the light of men. And I thank you, Lord, that his arms are wide open to all those who will come to him in these last days of this dispensation. I'm so glad that you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we just ask you to bless your word and give us spiritual understanding into these verses and what meaneth the life and light of men in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. I'll have you to know we're entering holy ground here this morning. John's gospel has been well called the gospel of eternity. John was a specially prepared vessel for this honorable task. He was from his youth that beloved apostle. He often leaned his head on Jesus' breast and heard the very heartbeat of God. He stood at the foot of the cross and watched him suffer and bleed and die. He was an eyewitness of the risen Savior and saw him ascend into glory. He cherished and took care of his human mother named Mary till she died. He saw the Old Testament dispensation come to a close and the holy city Jerusalem destroyed by the Roman armies. He received the apocalyptic vision of the revelation on the Isle of Patmos when the Lord Jesus appeared to him. And the great purpose of this, his gospel, fitly is expressed in chapter 20. Look with me in chapter 20. Hold your place, we're coming right back. But in chapter 20, look with me at verse 30. The purpose of his gospel in chapter 20 and verse 30 we read, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Oh, beloved, I'm so glad this morning that the purpose of John's gospel is that ye might have life through his name. And that is life everlasting. Glory to God. Truly, the opening words of this gospel, back to chapter 1, are the most profound ever penned by the hand of man. These opening verses reveal a threefold relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ as the life and light of men. We're going to look at this threefold relationship. The first one is his relationship to the Father. The second is his relationship to creation. The third is his relationship to mankind. First, let's observe his relationship to the Father. Look with me in John chapter 1, again at verse number 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Now, beloved, these incredible verses show us three particular aspects of his relationship to the Father. First, he is first the eternal Word, the Logos of God. Look with me at verse 1. "In the beginning was the," capital W, "Word." That's Logos. That's a divine personage. That's the second person of the Trinity. He is first the eternal Word of the Father. The Greek word Logos means the divine expression or communication, including the thoughts. Logos is doctrine. Logos is the mouth of God. Logos is the speech of God, the tidings, the utterance, and the treaty of God. Now, a treaty is a written composition on a particular subject in which the principles of it are explained. So Jesus Christ is the uttered speech and thoughts of God to the world. Did you hear me? Only Jesus Christ revealed the Father to the world. His first relationship to the Father is that of being his eternal, capital W, Word. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 1. Hold your place, we're coming right back. In Hebrews, I want you to see that he is the one through whom God speaks, and He only. Don't tell me you're an apostle. Don't tell me you're a prophet. I don't want to hear it. There's only one apostle, capital A, and one prophet, capital P, and His name is Jesus Christ. He's the one through whom the Father speaks. Amen? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times, that's several times, and in diverse manners, that's differing ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Notice, God speaks today by His Son, and through His Son only. Don't let anybody tell you they're the Messiah. Don't let anybody tell you they're a messenger of God. Don't let anybody tell you they're the Son of God. They're liars. There's only one. His name is Jesus Christ. And God speaks to man through Him. And through Him only. Revelation chapter 19. Flip over to Revelation chapter 19. Oh, I'm so glad that this Jesus is the eternal Word of the Father. Amen? Look with me in chapter 19. At verse number 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word, capital W, of God. That's who He is. He's the Word of God. Glory to God. I just thought of another one. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go back to 1 John one more time before we move on here. In 1 John, look with me in chapter 4. In chapter 5, make it. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse number 7. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. It's the Trinity. The Father, the who? The Word. Capital W. There He is again. And the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Notice that. The Word is one with the Father and one with the Holy Spirit. He's God. And He's the Word of God. He's the Logos of God. Back to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 3. Look with me in chapter 3 at verse 34. Oh, how great is this. In John 3, verse 34, we read, For he whom God hath sent speaketh the what? Words of God. He didn't come to give us His personal opinion. He speaks the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Now, notice in verse 34 that this Logos of God would speak the words of God. When He opened His mouth, you were hearing the very words of God the Father from heaven coming out of His mouth. Oh, this is good stuff. I'm so glad of that. And back to John chapter 1. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, I'm so glad He's full of grace and truth. Amen. And I'm so glad that He was made flesh. He became one of us and He died for us on that cross. He's the Word that was made flesh. Glory to God. He's the eternal Word of the Father. But secondly, concerning His relationship to the Father. Not only is He the eternal Word of the Father, but secondly, He was eternally with the Father. Look with me in verse 1 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God. Whoever this Word is, He was eternally with the Father. He was by His side from all eternity past. He was His delight. Glory to God. I love it. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Hold your place in John. Coming right back. In Proverbs chapter 8, we have wisdom personified. Let me just give you a hint. It's the Son of God. Because the Son of God is, capital W, wisdom. Amen? Personified. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 8. We have an amazing passage here concerning the Word. made flesh, and who he is, and who he's always been. In Proverbs chapter 8, I want you to see that he was eternally with the Father. Look at verse 15. John 8, verse 15. By me. Now, beloved, this is the Son of God speaking in verse 15. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Like Marian was saying, she can't wait to get to heaven. Amen. And I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting. Whoever this I is, he was eternally existent before time began. I was from everlasting. From the beginning or ever the earth was, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. He was before creation. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. I love it. He was with the Father. Look at it. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the foundations of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. He says, I want you to know something, boys. I was always with the Father. I was always by his side. I've always been his son. I always will be. He's eternal. Amen? Glory to God. First of all, he is the eternal word of the Father. Second of all, he was eternally with the Father. But thirdly, concerning his relationship to the Father, notice in verse 1, he was eternally equal to the Father. Back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow, what a statement. Whoever this person is, he is God. That's what it says in verse number 1. Now, man's finite mind cannot grasp the infinite mystery of the Trinity. 1 John 3:16 says, to wit, God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, justified in the Spirit, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's who he is. He is the living God who became human. In Philippians chapter 2, go with me to Philippians chapter 2 and hold your place again. Look at this verse concerning his being equal with God the Father. In Philippians chapter 2, look at this, verse number 5. I like this verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He says we've got to develop the mentality of Christ. We've got to think like God thinks. Amen? Who, speaking of Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said it didn't take anything away from the Father for him to be equal to the Father in every single way. Look at it. Being in the form of God. Listen to me. Before he became in the form of a human man, he was in the form of God. And it was no robbery to God for him to be so, because he is God. Amen? Oh, it's good stuff. Why? Because he's equal. Look at the last three words of verse 6. Equal with God. Folks, there's only one in the universe that's equal with God. And that is the Son of God and the Spirit of God. Glory to God. He was eternally equal to the Father. We're all familiar with the beauty of the carnation flower. My wife loves when I bring her carnations. And it gets its name from its fresh-colored appearance. Beautiful, vibrant colors. It is said that no other flower presents such brilliant scenes of wonder and beauty under the microscope as the carnation. And what an emblem of him who became the great incarnation. And what brilliant hidden wonders there are in him, only to be seen through the Christ-magnifying power of the Holy Spirit. And this is why he came, to reveal to us the eternal glory of his Father. So we see his first relationship to that of the Father. He's the eternal Word. He's eternally with him, and is eternally equal to him. But secondly this morning, let us see his relationship to creation. Back in our text in John chapter 1, what is his relationship to all of creation? First of all, look with me in verse number 3. In verse number 3 we read, all, what's that first word? All. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. I love it because the Holy Spirit, through John's pen, pronounces it in two ways. Positively and negatively, in case you didn't get it the first time. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. I love that. He made it all. What is his relationship to creation? He is its creator. This word of the Father is creation's creator. Listen carefully now. How many things were made by him? Oh yeah, all. You know what all means in the Greek? It means all. It means all. Now listen, his relationship to creation is that he is its eternal creator and sustainer. Do you realize if Jesus Christ took his hand off of this universe, it would dissolve? It would cease to exist? He's keeping us in our current state of being. This is powerful stuff. He gave everything its being, and he continues to cause us to subsist. Look at verse number 10. He was in the world, the Word, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Did you see in verse 10 that the creation did not recognize its own creator? And the one who made everyone and everything did not recognize their maker. Wow. Yes, it pleased the Father to bring the creation into being through the instrumentality of his Son. And it also pleases the Father to bring the new creation into existence, that's new birth, regeneration, through his Son. Did you hear what I said? I said he created everything in the physical realm. And he creates everything in the spiritual realm that is regenerated. Glory to God. He creates spiritually as well as he did physically. By him, he made the worlds. And by him, he seeks to redeem this world from sin. He, by whom God made everything, has also made peace by the blood of his cross. Listen now. Without him, God the Father did nothing. So too, without him, we can do nothing. Did you catch the reciprocal truth in that statement? Without Jesus Christ, God the Father did nothing. Nothing. And without Jesus Christ, you and I can do nothing. That means both heaven and earth depend upon this Jesus Christ I speak to you this morning about. This is incredible stuff. All things were created by him and for him. And by him, all things consist, that is, continue to be. He is the center and support of all things in the universe. And for in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, things spiritual, things physical, things visible, things invisible. And by him, all things consist." Consist. The Greek word for consist literally means to hold together. To hold together. You know what that means? It means by him, Jesus Christ, all things are being held together in their present form. If he takes his hand off of you, you dissolve. Oh, if anybody gets to get grab hold of this truth, Jesus Christ is keeping that idiot in Russia Putin, who's invading countries, and Ahmadinejad wants to nuke Israel, and these wicked ISIS terrorists, he's keeping them alive for now. The day's coming when he's going to let down the hammer on their heads. They have no idea who they're dealing with. Scientists have discovered the smallest particle in the universe. It's called an atom. An atom, they tell us, is consists of three parts. An atom has a nucleus with with protons and neutrons, right? Protons have a positive charge. Neutrons have a negative charge. It's like when you cross your battery cables, you almost get electrified, right? Because you're crossing a positive charge with a negative charge. This is what atoms are made up of, folks. So physicists tell us that by scientific law, this pulpit, this book, everything, you should fly apart in all directions right now. But you don't. Why? Because Jesus Christ, listen to me, Jesus Christ is holding every atom together in place right now. When he takes his hand off of it, 2 Peter chapter 3, the whole universe will melt with fervent heat and dissolve. That's what's going to happen. But folks, listen to me. Why did he create all things? Why did he create all things that were made? Revelation chapter 4 tells us in verse number 11, "For thou, Lord Jesus, hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Why were you created? Oh, you've got to grab hold of this. For the pleasure of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means whatever he pleases to do with my life, it's okay by me, because I was made to bring him pleasure. Whatever in your life doesn't bring him pleasure is not of God. It's got to go. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes into play. You and I don't have the ability to get rid of those things, do we? But the Holy Spirit in you does. And as we yield to the Holy Spirit and seek his face and pray and read this holy book, guess what? The power of Jesus Christ flows through you, casting out that which doth not belong. Matthias Claudius wrote the words to this famous poem, "We plow the fields and scatter. We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land. But it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft refreshing rain. He only is the maker of all things near and far. He paints the wayside flower. He lights the evening star. The winds and waves obey him. By him the birds are fed. Much more to us his children he gives our daily bread. We thank thee then, O Father, for all things bright and good, the seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. Accept the gifts we offer, for all thy love imparts, and what thou most desirest, our humble, thankful hearts." What thou most desirest, our humble, thankful hearts. That's all he wants. Because if he has our heart, he has our whole being. Amen? And that is most important, that he has our hearts. Why? Because of his relationship to creation. He is its creator. He is your maker. And therefore, we owe him our all. Thirdly, we've seen his relationship to the Father. We've seen his relationship to creation. But finally, this morning, I want you to see Jesus Christ in his relationship to mankind. Back to our text in John chapter 1. His relationship to mankind. What is it? Look with me in verse number 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. What? Oh my! The text takes a sudden turn to mankind in verse number 4 and makes an unbelievable statement. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. What does that mean? Think with me, beloved. Listen carefully. Verse 4 says that Jesus Christ is the source of all life. In him was life. You didn't exist. You had no being. He was alive. He had life eternal in himself. Therefore, he gave life to his creation. Follow me. Notice that he is said to be the light of men in verse number 4 and not of creation? Look at it, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Not of trees, though he is. Not of mountains, though he is. He is the light. His life is the light of men. It's because there is a difference between physical light and spiritual light. Listen, he made the physical light of the material universe, and he sustains it. He keeps the sun burning. But he is the light of men spiritually. Listen, man is distinct from and superior to other created things. Man is likened unto a candle. Listen to Proverbs 20, verse 27. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inner parts of the belly. The spirit of man, that's your life, is the candle of the Lord, searching within. So, listen now. It's saying that Jesus Christ, you're like a candle. You had no light. You had no life. But Jesus Christ came upon you. Here's your physical body, like a candle. It's dead because it has no soul. It has no life. Jesus Christ lights that candle, and you have light. The light of what? Life, it says in verse 4. You have the light of life because Jesus Christ lit your spiritual candle. Now, listen carefully. In John chapter 1, look at verse 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Notice the capital L. That's a divine personage. That all men, oh, look at this, Calvinist. That all men through him might, not will, might believe. He was not that light, John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, look at verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth some men. No, no. Every man that cometh into the world. My grandson, Aaron Robert Oliver, was born last month, and I guarantee you, I know who gave him life. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave my little grandson, he's so cute and adorable, I want to take him home. He gave him life. Amen? Jesus Christ, why? It says in verse 9 that he lights every man that comes into the world. That means he imparts life to every human being. Now, do you know how long a candle burns?
Long time.
It depends on the...
Until what? Until what happens?
Until
the flame goes out. Until the flame goes out. A candle burns until the flame goes out. You live until the flame goes out.
Hope it's today.
He wants to go to heaven. Folks, listen to me. The candle of the Lord is the spirit of man. And when the candle of the Lord is put out, you go to heaven if you're saved. Amen? That Jesus Christ holds your breath in his hand is what I'm saying. Why? Because all life, listen to me, all life is derived from him, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4 again. Verse 4. In him was what?
Light.
Oh. So we didn't evolve. We didn't evolve at all. We were granted life by him who had life before there was any life. You see what I'm saying? It's Jesus Christ who is the light and life of the world. Now, Jesus Christ is this light, and I want to show you three things quickly in closing concerning this light. First, what this light is. Second, where this light shines. And third, the effect of its shining. First, notice what this light is. Look at verse number 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. What? The life was the light of men? Listen carefully, beloved. Go with me to John chapter 8. I want to see if we can figure out what that means. What this light is. It's not intrinsic. It's from another source. In John chapter 8, look with me at verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the what?
Light.
Whoa! Are you getting the picture? Jesus says, I am the light of world, and through my light, you can have life. Now, wait, I thought I already had life. Yeah, you've got physical life, but without Jesus Christ, you don't have spiritual life. He's saying that if you come to me, I'm going to give you a life that will last forever, like his own. You see that in verse number 8 of 12? They shall have the light of life. That's eternal, everlasting life. What this light, first of all, notice what this light is. It's the life of Jesus Christ coming into you. The light of life is Jesus Christ. Second, notice where this light shines. Look at verse 5. Don't miss this. Verse 5. And the light shineth in. Notice that two-letter word, in. In darkness. Now, where does this light shine? It shines in darkness. Now listen, he does not say that the light shines on the darkness, but that the light shines in the darkness. Let me explain. The physical light of the sun shines on the darkness of creation, but the spiritual light of the sun, capital S-O-N, shines in the spiritual darkness of this world. Are you listening? That is in the midst of it. Now, for the purpose of this light is to overcome the darkness of this world. And the center of this spiritual darkness is inside the human heart. So he says, look at it, verse 5. And the light shineth in the darkness. Why? Not on the darkness, that's the outside, that's the flesh. It shines in the darkness to cast, in the darkness to cast it out. Listen, if you go to a shed, I'm sure Kyle has a shed, a big one, in his yard. And at night, 3 o'clock in the morning, that shed is going to be pitch black, right? But if Kyle goes into that shed with a floodlight and clicks that baby on, it's a big, powerful floodlight. I guarantee you there's going to be light inside that shed. And what is it going to do to the darkness that was just there? Illuminate. It's going to dispel it. It's going to illuminate it and dispel the darkness. And you have light in there. That's exactly how every human being is. Without Jesus Christ, they're full of darkness until the light of the Lord Jesus comes in to that person's spirit and casts out the darkness. Then they have, verse 4, the light of life. Look at it. And the light shineth in darkness. Notice where this light shines. It shines in the darkness, the spiritual darkness of this world, in order to dispel the spiritual darkness within. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Flip over quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I am so grateful this morning that there is a light, and that light is Jesus Christ. And whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall find it. Look with me in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. Look with me in verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light, what light? Is that talking about physical light or spiritual light? Spiritual light, right? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined where? Ooh, in our hearts. That's where it shines. In our hearts. Why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, this light, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen to me. When you got born again, when you were spiritually regenerated and the Holy Ghost came into you, you were born of God, and the light of Jesus Christ flooded your inner man with supernatural light, divine light, eternal light. And that's why you have eternal life. Did you catch it? Look at verse number 6 again. Have shined in our hearts to give the light. Now, here, watch this. Watch this. You've received that light in your heart. What are you supposed to do with it? Look at the rest of verse 6. You're supposed to give it out. Amen? You're not supposed to hoard it, you know, like Scrooge, and be a miser. You're supposed to give it out. You're supposed to shine it to others who need it.
Glory to God. Why? Because this light shines in the darkness. But thirdly, we've seen what this light is. It's Jesus Christ. We've seen where it shines, in the human heart. But thirdly, notice the effect of it shining. In closing, notice the effect of it shining. Verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What? Did you catch that effect at the end of verse 5? And the darkness, where did we say the darkness was? Inside the human heart. The human heart comprehends it not. Listen to me. You know why people look at you like you got three eyes when you try to tell them about Jesus Christ and how wonderful it is knowing Him and how heaven is real and the devil is real and there's a hell to shine and a shun and a heaven to gain? You know why? Because they comprehend Him not. They can't see what you're saying. They can't understand with their heart that Jesus is real. Why? Because their heart's full of darkness. According to verse 5, the darkness of the unregenerate heart comprehends the light of Jesus Christ not. The effect of it shining. Sadly, for the most part, even today, the darkness of willful unbelief remains yet unconscious of this great light. They comprehend not their spiritual need for this light. They comprehend not the eternal benefits of this light. They comprehend not the joy, the peace, the satisfaction of this light. And sadly, they comprehend not the great love of this light. How sad that Jesus Christ loves them. Someone asked me on Facebook this week, they said, Oh, you're trying to say that Jesus doesn't love all people. And I wrote back, no, Jesus loves all people, but not all people love Jesus.
Amen.
Not all people love Jesus. You see, there's a difference. Sadly, they comprehend not the great love of this light. Go to chapter 3. In closing, chapter 3, look at verse 19, words in red. Jesus says, 19, and this is the condemnation. That, what's the next word?
Light.
Light is come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Look at it. For everyone that doeth evil, non-repentant, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, made known, that they are wrought in God. Listen to me, beloved, in closing. Jesus says in verse 20 and 21 that there are only two types of people in this world. Those who come to the light and those who run from the light. There's only two. There's no neutral ground. You're either in the light or you're in the darkness. You're either unsaved, on your way to a devil's hell, or you're saved in the light and on your way to a glorious heaven. There's no neutral ground. And Jesus says here that these two type of people have two opposite actions towards my light. Some come to it, some flee away from it. How sad. How sad that the majority of this world are still this morning running away from the light of the love of Jesus Christ. Beloved, I'm speaking to you this morning on the life and light of men. In closing, let me give you this. There's a certain old lighthouse off the shore of Scituate, Massachusetts, called Minot's Light. Many lonely sailors have been deeply cheered by its flashing signal. You see, the signal spells out in Morse code, I love you. Mine, it's like, it's flash Morse code, I love you. Several years ago, the Coast Guard decided to replace the old equipment on the lighthouse. They announced that for technical reasons, the new machine would not be able to flash the message, I love you, anymore. And after a great public outcry, the Coast Guard reconsidered, and so the old equipment remains and still continues to send its message of cheer to weary sailors, I love you, I love you, I love you. But there's another lighthouse, much older than that one.
His name is Jesus Christ. And the signal he sends out to this world, to all weary travelers, is, I love you. I love you. I love you. Why? Because he's the life and light of men, if they only believe. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the life and light of men. His name is Jesus Christ. And we're so grateful, Lord, that there is no comparison in the universe to knowing this light, who is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Lord, we're thankful for John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, which so clearly portray your eternal relationship to the Father, your eternal relationship to creation, and your eternal relationship to mankind. Lord, we're so grateful that God the Father depended upon you to create everything, and we depend upon you to work through us in our lives. Everything centers around the Son of God. And Lord, we love you with all of our hearts, and we love your light. We love abiding and basking in your light. We love walking in your light. We love talking about your light. We love everything about your light, Lord Jesus, because it's the most wonderful thing we've ever experienced in our lives. Thank you for it today. And Lord, my prayer for this church is that we would have opportunity in these last days to share the love of the light of Jesus Christ with multitudes of lost souls that need it. Oh Lord, we're so grateful for it, and we ask you to use us for your honor and glory, that many might come to know this light. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Folks, let's grab our hymnals, and we'll stand for a closing hymn this morning. June.
You know the songs that we sing, and how I can't escape your love?
Yes.
That goes with this.
Oh, amen. Right along with the message this morning, sister. Indeed. Hymn number 3. Yes. Yes, indeed. Hymn number 3. Second page of your hymnal. You'll be there. And we're going to sing the first and the second. Speaking of the life and light of men, let's sing about it right here. Wonderful words of life. That's what they are.
Sing them over again to me. Oh, wonderful words of life. Let the more of the beauty see. Oh, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Words of hope and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Amen. Praise the Lord, beloved. If you can make it tonight, we'll be celebrating the Lord's table. What a blessed service that'll be. Brother Kyle, dismiss us in prayer, brother.
We come to you once again, Lord, to give you thanks for the word you've brought to us, Lord. We thank you for teaching us that this light is there. It's ours. All we need to do is partake of it, Lord, as it's offered freely. And Lord, we just pray that each and every one of us has taken of that offer.
Christ.
That we can let that light shine out to be a blessing to those around us and to others in this world, and to help them to understand that they need to partake of it also. We just pray, Lord, that this light will guide us in our lives, guide our families and those we love, Lord, to be walking in that path that you lay before us that we need to be in. We pray, Lord, you watch over and guide us. You keep us safe and bring us back again this evening, Lord. And we ask you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.